This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Time for a little Red Wings post-mortem. Deadline is over.
Season might be over.
John, I've gone to the dark side with you.
Oh, your 51 is on. They don't make it now.
I really wanted them to beat Utah to feel good. I wanted to see them do something of consequence at the deadline to feel good. Then you throw in Friday night's disaster against the Capitals. They're going the wrong way. And it looks like they've stalled out again for the second year in a row. Yzerman for the second year in a row not adding at the deadline. And he has his reasons and he explained it. But I want to know if this is acceptable. Do you see the vision or are you starting to doubt where this is all headed? Yzerman's quote was, "I understand the frustration or impatience. We did what we thought to give ourselves a better shot at the playoffs. Is it earth-shattering? No. But the only way to do something earth-shattering was to give up picks and prospects."
Where I wanted them to make the moves was offseason. Where I wanted them to make the move was an earlier decision with the coach so they didn't dig themselves as big of a hole. At this time, with this roster and where they are, I don't like it when I say it out loud, but I understand why Steve Yzerman did what he did at the trade deadline. Like if the guys that were available, I don't think we're going to take you from a team that was going to miss the playoffs by 2, 3, 4 points, 1 point, doesn't matter, you're out, versus a team that is assured to get in. Or at least a better chance to get in.
If his read was, we're a fringe playoff team and it's not worth giving up primo picks and prospects, I agree with him, okay? But when you tie one hand behind your back and then complain you're only fighting with one hand...
Right. Because of the roster going into the season. And I think we talked about this after the trade or after the free agency in the offseason. Was this going to be a better roster than they had last year?
Right. And I think if you remember last summer, Yzerman had an issue with the market, the term that was being handed out. He disagreed with some of the deals and didn't feel comfortable signing him. The last two trade deadlines, he's disagreed with the going rate to buy. Well, he's a great drafter. I'll use the word great. Some of that's a leap of faith. He's drafted very well. It's not the only means to win a cup. In fact, you will need to sign and trade, and you will need to be better from a pro scouting standpoint. Why should I trust, if you're not willing to pay the going rate to get better, that it's going to get any better? It's just exclusively going to happen because all the prospects are going to turn out? He's made 8 first-round picks. I happen to think a lot of them are core players. Say that again, 8 first-round picks. He's got the nucleus. I just wonder, like, how do they get to that next level without waiting 3 more seasons for everybody to perfectly develop?
Right, because you're probably, I mean, maybe you got a goalie up next year, but he's not going to be your number one goalie. At least you wouldn't, you hope he's not your number one goalie.
Well, and Yzerman said they're going to be conservative with him. He might not be here to start the season.
So I asked you this question, I believe it was on Thursday, before they played Utah. What were the points that they needed? Outside of the trade deadline, no matter what was going to happen, what were the points that they needed in 7 games? And I think you said 9. Mm-hmm. They played 2. They have 0 points. And the reason I went over from I thought they were going to make the playoffs to where I thought they weren't going to make the playoffs was you just simply look at the schedule. You look at what this team is over the course of the entire season.
Yeah.
And you look at what they've done since the Four Nations. That's who this team is. Yeah. And I just don't believe with the opponents that they play, even if they're able to scratch and claw and get back into, you know, that final wild card spot, they end 5 of 6 games on the road against playoff competition.
Really good hockey teams. They may have dug themselves too deep a hole to justify doing anything last Friday. I'm willing to hear that argument. The bigger picture, though, is the issue here. So people will say to us, oh, you guys are know-it-alls. What would you have done? And I'll play the game. I mean, it's only going to sound like we're Captain Hindsight, but there were things we discussed at the time. Yeah. Would Jake Walman be an upgrade on this defense right now?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't want to say it too loud because we sent a second and he was traded for a first. The math just doesn't work out.
No. If they had just kept him, he could have been on the third pair. Speaking of the third pair, Justin Hull was a healthy scratch a year ago. He was not good enough to be on the team a year ago when they missed the playoffs. They've played him all season. There were teams on the bubble that traded for third pair defensemen. The Rangers and the Bruins, Blue Jackets and Devils each added some, you know, bottom six forwards. There were little moves to make a slight upgrade to just nudge your team a point here, a point there. We talked about letting Derek Lalonde go at the end of last season. December wasn't this brand new idea. It had been discussed. So if you fire Lalonde, you keep Walman, maybe you sign a right-handed defenseman last summer. Matt Roy is from Michigan. Washington added him. He's been a steady top four guy for them. But Yzerman didn't want to hand out term. Like, there were moves to be made to where they'd have not a hand tied behind their back. They would have approached this deadline in a much stronger position. Their failures from a pro scouting standpoint, free agents and trades, are undermining what is otherwise good drafting by Steve Yzerman, and it's caused them to stall out. So you guys let us know what your view is. 248-539-9797. I do sense the tide turning. Like last Friday, people were upset. I do think there are people disappointed that it's taken as long as it is. For those that are still holding out, I'm not mad at you. But I have an issue with a certain section of Red Wing fans that act like we're all idiots. You guys don't understand this is how long it takes. I've noticed a certain subsect of hockey fans, sports fans, where their patience proves they're more loyal, they're smarter, they know it takes time, and we're just a bunch of instant gratification people. No, guys, the Wings are likely to miss the playoffs. And it would be 9 straight years, the 4th longest drought in league history. And I'm supposed to believe everything is going according to plan, or I just don't know puck. And I resent that. The people who say, no, 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 you don't get it, you don't get it. It was always going to be this way. It didn't have to be this way.
No, it certainly didn't have to be this way. And that's where I go back to, what did you do in the last 2 off seasons in free agency? Constructing this team to get it over the hump so that when you do get to the trade deadline, maybe you don't have to be sellers. Maybe you don't have to be buyers. You are able to buy complementary pieces. You don't have to reconstruct your roster on the fly.
So we've been getting like a new text and maybe even calls occasionally in the last couple weeks here since this nosedive started. I want to ask you, do you think they're soft, Jim?
Yeah.
Do you buy that?
Yeah. I think Yzerman even alluded to it. I think I watched the whole thing. 40-plus minutes of questions, and I think he may have even said, and I'm paraphrasing, if you want to say we're not hard enough to play against, I wouldn't disagree with you.
That's the part I don't get about this. That your culture that you're building here is soft. Some of the young guys are here now, but you're soft. The veterans you bring in, the free agents, are soft. How is he not responsible for that?
Right, you've brought in multiple coaches, hired 2 different ones.
Because I would say this just from afar. When I watch this team, I see little grit, and I certainly don't see a dirt bag. And I don't care what sport you're on, no matter what, you need to have a couple dirt bags. Jim Leland said it best, and I totally agree. The guys that scrap, the guys that hold you accountable, those, you know.
Keep your ear down and
second, third liners. I don't see it. And hey, I'll play to an old bit here. A Canadian grinder.
Right.
You know, I mean, it is an old bit.
Bigger on the blue line. But true.
You have to have a little bit of that.
A little bit, yeah.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
2, 4, 8, 5.
Physicality.
Three. Yeah, they're missing it. And it would have got exposed in the playoffs if they made it. Or if they make it, I suppose still they can make it. But we're just...
Yeah, what are their... I think their last math I did was 7 teams that were within 4 points.
Yeah, but that's just the math. And how Watch this team play.
Yeah.
They are not good.
And how about the move they did make, right? So he said, you know, we made the move we thought was the best. They added a fourth line center, traded away Joe Valeno. In that same trade, they took on Peter Mrazek. And look, they need a goalie who can get hot. Don't rule it out, but he's been awful. Since December 1st, he's got an .866 save percentage. And he has another year on his contract at north of $4 million. That's a negative asset that they got back in the deal. Steve will go, oh, we can roll him into next year and the goalie market's unpredictable. That's an overpay that you're rolling into next year's salary. And then I'm going to hear about in the summer they don't have enough space to make a move. You see how this can become very infuriating.
I'm so annoyed by them. I've given up. I don't know. I don't see how they can possibly flip the season.
Well, I mean, you never know until you see it. And I don't know what that recipe looks like. I don't know what that path looks like because you look at the schedule, and I said this last week, you look at the schedule and it is daunting. Instead, it is not an easy task.
I didn't look at the schedule this morning. I looked at NHL Tankathon.
Oh, the draft. Texter says 20.
I'm not going down that road.
Not yet. 27 of 32 teams have made the playoffs since Iserman began his tenure. 24 teams have switched GMs more recently than Detroit. Iserman, to this point, has been an abject failure, signed Steve on the ticket text. Steve, you just don't know puck. It's 97.1.